Well, last week on the panel with Phil Gifford, almost flippantly, we were talking about the need, Christchurch's need for a new stadium, a showpiece. After all, they were potentially, well, they were staging the quarterfinal, the semi-final, and potentially a final of Super Rugby. And here was the stadium that was cold, wet, and was pretty much just sort of put together by scaffolding. And we know that there's a lot of needs. There's needs and there's wants when it comes to the rebuilding of Christchurch. And some people argue that a stadium's not a need, it's more of a want. And I was just being a bit flippant and going, come on, they're building art galleries, they're building libraries. Surely a stadium means more to the people. And it actually got a little bit of discussion. We actually received a lot of texts. We had a few callers in and around it, including my mother, who, by the way, just loves the arts. One person also texted me in and said, look, I'm very much on the art side on this debate, is Garth Galloway. Now, Garth is one of our leading cricket commentators. His father was a wonderful broadcaster too, Ian Galloway. But when he's not watching sport and following his kids and reading about sport, he's mad keen on the arts as well. He's the chairman of the Arts Foundation. He's on the Christchurch Art Gallery Board. And he's also part of the Creative Arts Council of New Zealand. He joins us on the program. Garth Galloway, good afternoon, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Okay, what's the definition of the arts? What defines arts in this country?
Well, that's how long have you got? But I mean, it covers a multitude of things, I think. And certainly from the Arts Foundation, we look at the arts in a group of different practices, really. So we have the visual arts, music, obviously, dance, performance, just a whole variety of things. And I mean, in New Zealand, Mark, we're richly talented in terms of the arts. And when I look at how we do in sport, we achieve similarly, I think, in the arts. We just got some outstanding people who are performing to an incredibly high level. But the thing that's always interested me, I think, is that I walk in both of those worlds and love them both equally, really, sport and the arts. But the thing that I think is really interesting about it is, for me, is that they just sit awkwardly together in a way. There's very little overlap between the sports and the arts in New Zealand. And I tend to find that the people I know either like one or the other, but very rarely do they overlap. And I think it's an interesting thing because I think there are some real parallels between what artists do, and by that I mean, you know, musicians, dancers, visual artists or whatever, and what athletes do.
Okay, well, I want to ask you this then. What is the perception that people in the arts have of people who love sport or who play sport?
Well, I would speak for myself, I suppose. And there's always a danger of generalising, but I think that often people in the arts will look at sport and possibly regard it as being slightly meaningless in terms of how does it fix the world's problems. Arts, in my view, tend to be a lot of the issues, you know, they're thinking through issues in a political sense, in a spiritual sense, in a religious sense, whatever. Whereas I think artists, you know, and again, I'm at danger of generalising, but they may look at sport and think it's very limited and what does it really add? And then if you turn that on its head and say, how do sports people and how do sports lovers look at the arts, then I think often they may be inherently suspicious of them. And I think what that reflects is that the two worlds don't necessarily understand each other particularly well. And I think as human beings, when we don't understand something, then we can tend to be dismissive of it. And, you know, for me, I feel that we should be trying to bring the two worlds together. So a good weekend for me, Mark, would be to go to a cricket game and then to head off to the art gallery the next day and have a wander around.
You've obviously got a very, very lovely, exceptional wife for you to be able to do that, Garth.
Oh, she comes with me. probably not to the cricket, probably to the art gallery. But I've got, look, I've been obsessed with it since I was about 8, Mark. I bought my first artwork then, and I've been, you know, I live in a world where I'm completely, as I say, obsessed with it. And I'm lucky enough to have acted for a lot of athletes over many years in my legal career. So as listeners will know, I've managed and looked after Brendan McCullum for years. I've also looked after the likes of Laura Langman and a hell of a lot of netballers and other athletes. And also, you know, I look after a lot of artists as well.
Okay. So and what I was going to ask you then. So what you've experienced both, you know, at elite levels in both, if I can use the word elite, in and around the art. So what are some of the common traits that you've noticed?
A single-mindedness to succeed, a sacrifice. So athletes and artists alike have to be incredibly focused on what they want to achieve. You know, I know a lot of artists who basically live on the bones of their backside at the start of their careers. If they can get a lucky break, if they can get a dealer, for example, for a visual artist or a record label for a musician, then things can get a little bit easier. But they are singularly driven people. And many of the artists I know, for example, are in relationships. They don't have children because that would be a distraction from what they know. I look at athletes and the uncertainty that they have at the start of their careers as well. And there is an absolute single-mindedness that's required to succeed in anything for these people to be elite. And there is a real and genuine comparison between them. One of the things that I often think about and would like to do with the Arts Foundation one day, Mark, is to have a panel where we put some athletes together with artists and talk about, you know, being in the moment, that moment of perfection where an athlete does something or an artist does something.
And yeah, but can I ask you this though, Garth, though? Can you ever actually do that? Because I would suggest that art, is more of an intangible, where sport is more tangible.
I think if you look at a painting and say to an artist, and it may have taken a long time to create, so it may be less about being in the moment, but more about an extended period of time. But the thing about a great painting is that it can never be reproduced again. It is something. And if you look at, for example, and these are just thoughts that run through my mind, and listeners will have their own views of it, but when I look at someone like McCullum scoring the fastest 100 against Australia in Test cricket, he's out there for a few hours. Something is going on his mind, you know, in his mind, where he's just at the best. I look at someone like Geoff Wilson, who I thought was one of the finest All Blacks, attacking and defensively. And I always think about his game from a defensive point of view. He was one of the few players as a wing who I've seen where there was an overlap and he was on defence. He could shut it down. He just had this ability to be in that moment and to do something brilliant. I think when you look at performance and dance, for example, or music, or making artworks, then there is a moment where I think at times people just strike absolute perfection. And it's indescribable. What are the things that lead to it? What are the factors around that person when they are in that moment? I think it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, no, look, are the arts valued here in New Zealand? I mean, what part do they play in a healthy society?
What do you think? I turn that to you and say,
I think they are valued. I think that they probably, look, this could be my ignorance here, Garth, but, you know, you try and, every time it comes to the government funding some sort of sporting event, there seems to be a lot of negativity. There seems to be subcommittees. Often the press is negative. Hey, opportunity cost. There's other areas of society we should be investing in. But it appears that when it comes to the arts, it just ticks possibly a few more sort of politically correct boxes, and it seems to go under the radar. Now, I've seen things on the news about white chairs hanging upside down costing $100,000, and I'm told it's modern art.
Yeah, well, now we could debate that for a long time. The issue around whether the arts are valued or not is one of the things, and I think that's the great conversation. I think one of the challenges for people who are involved in arts administration is to try to ensure that the arts are valued more, and I think many would feel that sport is valued much more greatly than the arts, but they both contribute, you know, in a meaningful way to society. And by that, the arts also bring in an enormous amount of income. They look at the Edinburgh Tattoo and the show like that, the New Zealand Festival in Wellington a few years ago, they thought was worth $100 million to the Wellington economy. And then if we talk about sports tournaments and what they do, similar thing. But I would argue slightly the other way and say that I don't think the arts are truly valued in New Zealand. And by being truly valued, I mean by the politicians and by, and particularly local government, where we look at the public art galleries around New Zealand and in many instances really struggling to get funding. So they battle away, but they don't get the publicity.
So Garth, can I just come in here? So you think that when it comes to, say, dishing out of government money or council money, that sport tends to get the nod more than the arts?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do believe that. I think it's hard. It's really hard work for arts organisations who are, you know, in that. So for example, local art galleries and things, I think they really do struggle. And one of the other things, Mark, is, and again, there's no criticism here, it's an observation, but the arts aren't really written about in New Zealand in a meaningful way. There's not a lot of, if you look at art reviews and columns and so forth, and for example, our local newspapers, there's little or no coverage at all compared to sport. So, and so as a society, I don't think they're valued nearly enough, and I think part of the reason for that.
But I think what sport does, it provides people with a real sense of sort of nationalism.
Absolutely.
How can you communicate the arts in terms of that wide reach
and give us
that feel-good factor?
Well, you can't communicate it unless people are talking about it. You can't have that issue. So, for example, New Zealand had been represented at the VSB and that Biennale, which is like often compared to the Olympics of the art world, by a New Zealand artist called Lisa Rehana this year. Her exhibition, whatever people think about it, her exhibition was written by the Times of London newspaper as being the most successful exhibition in the entire show. Now, that's an incredible accolade for a New Zealand artist. And she got a lot of other critical acclaim as well. But very few people in New Zealand hear about that unless you're in the arts world, because there is no coverage of it.
Are there aspects of the arts, though, that that potentially are dragging the industry down because they possibly reinforce some negative stereotypes?
I think one of the interesting things, and I often hear it again at local body level, is that the arts are elitist. And I just disagree with that completely. So, again, I've heard at local body level, you know, often that, for example, the Christchurch Art Gallery, the Auckland Art Gallery or whatever, that they are elite, that they're organisations that are elitist. And nothing could be further from the truth. They cater an awful lot to the community. And, you know, anyone who walks into those buildings, and your mother will be one of them regularly, I'm sure, Mark, gets completely uplifted by what they see. And, it's a wonderful experience to go into those places. They're not elitist. They're places for communities. They do show some very high-end art, but that's good. It's provocative. It's challenging. It raises issues and questions that we all should be thinking about from time to time.
People who love art, and I'm talking about paintings, murals, sculptures, are they genuine lovers of art, or are they just good investors?
Well, the investment art is a different story. I think a lot of people will buy art simply because they love it. They'll support artists because they want to support them. Other people will, and you can spend a hell of a lot of money on a painting, needless to say, Mark. So it pays to buy wisely. I don't think you can ever predict. And one art dealer said to me years ago, if you're in it for investment, then get off the bus and walk away and go and do something else. But I think there are certainly, if you know the art market well, there are certainly some artists who you can pick and pick and do well out of it.
Can I let you into a little secret? When I was around at your place and I was eating whitebait fritters and having a glass of wine, and Brendan McCullum happened to be there, I just got a sneaky feeling with Brendan, he didn't quite get you. He didn't quite get that side of you.
The arts, I think that would be right. And I tried hard.
And I mean that in a very endearing way there, Garth.
A lot of people don't get me, and nor should they. But look, there are no rights or wrongs. It's like you try a glass of wine, or you watch it, or we watch sport, and we all have an opinion on these things. I think, again, the conversation that interests me is how do we bring these worlds together?
We've got to open our minds, don't we?
Yeah, we do, and not feel threatened by it. So when you're looking at a painting, often what people say to me is, what does it mean? Well, it may not mean anything. That's the point. What does it mean to you? How do you react to it? How do you respond to it? Those are the interesting questions. Do you feel something? People come through the house sometimes and look at a painting on the wall and go, God, I hate that. And then they say, I'm so sorry. And I'm just delighted if they say that, because they're responding to it. It's great.
Garth Galloway, great discussion, a good debate.
Interesting.
And it is interesting. I'm pleased we had it this afternoon. Thank you.
Good on you, Mark. I never thought I'd be on Radio Sport talking about art, so I'm delighted. And, if the listeners are listening, get into the galleries, listen to New Zealand music, go to the performances and so on, and as well as sport. Your lives will be richer.